I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Pip Slaughter. Welcome, Pip.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
Well, it is. It's a lovely West End Fremantle, cold, wet, windy day. But no doubt you, as a candidate for the East Ward in the City of Fremantle elections, have been out stamping around your ward.
Yes, rain, hail and shine. I've lost two umbrellas so far a few weeks back and just blown inside out by the wind, walking between Beaconsfield and Hilton.
Well, it might be some sort of omen, who knows? I've said to all of the candidates when they've asked, and then I've told them all, that I just want to know why you're running. Why are you running, Pip?
For me, I was asked by local community members, said, Pip, you should do this. You will be really good at this. And I've always had trouble saying no when asked to do public service. So I think it's come from my family of just being generous and, yeah, I'll help out wherever I can. And so when my community asked and said, please stand forward, I thought about it and discussed it with my family first, and they all said, of course you'll be fantastic at it. Go for it. So here I am.
So have you done anything like this before?
Not with local government or any other kind of government, no. Governance, yes. I've chaired and been committee members on various boards, mostly not-for-profits, and I'm currently the PNC president at Fremantle College. So, yes, I can run a meeting, I can gather documents, I can research, and I can come up with arguments for and against. And so I guess that's some of the skills that I'm going to need going forward. And I'm very good at finding out what I need to know. So if I don't know the answer, I'll just find out how.
Well, it will be, obviously, if you're successful, some long, if not tedious, meetings sitting on council.
I don't think it's the meetings that are tedious. I've attended meetings. I find it actually easier to do from home, online, just attend online. That's been easier. It's the readings. There's a lot of material that goes behind. People think, oh, such and such voted no to that or yes to this, and it was over and done with. But no, there's a lot of research that goes into all of the decisions council makes. I know that they rely on staff and their committees quite heavily, and yeah, you just got to do the reading and know what you're talking about.
Well, you're sort of warned and prepared, I can see, and experienced, and isn't it wonderful that we've got online participation these days?
Yeah, it's fantastic. A couple of years ago now, they changed when they released the meeting documents, so you can actually get a little bit more time to read them beforehand. I don't always read every single document before a council meeting as just a general community member, but obviously having the extra time to do that as a councillor would really benefit everyone to really know what you're getting into.
Now, as I say, you've been around knocking on doors, and when people say to you, lovely to meet you, Pip, but just tell me, why should I vote for you? What are your big three sort of policy platform issues?
Yeah, that's been actually quite a hard one for me because it's not my platform, it's a representation of the community. So it has to be what they want, not what I want. I'm not going into this with an ego of I can change the world, but I can continue to improve our little corner of it for sure by listening. So that's the first thing, is just making sure that people know when they can have input to decisions, how they can have input into decisions, and just increasing that engagement. Not everyone has the computer and is logged onto MySay website and gets all of the updates about what current engagement there is for various projects and plans. In fact, I was in O'Connor last week and there's a current playground consultation happening for Plane Tree Grove Park. And out of, I would say, the people who actually boarded on the park itself, 70% of the people were home, and 99% of those people did not know that there was only 6 days left for the consultation on what kind of new playground to have. And in fact, many of them said, oh really, do we need a new playground there? That's the really small park. Why don't we have it over in the other part, other green space, where there's barbecues and shade? And these are the things I'm like, you've got to get online, you've got to be involved, you've got to know when and how to have these discussions, because it's not in the best interests of the community if the playground is green or yellow, if it's in the wrong spot.
It is interesting. I've always been interested in what I think the scientists, social scientists, call participatory democracy.
Absolutely.
But have you got thoughts about how you can ensure that, you know, your local, let's say, East Ward people actually know what's going on before it's too late?
Absolutely. Well, lots of ways. Ben Lawver's had a great newsletter that he's put out continually over the last 4 years, and he's very active in the local community. So that's definitely something that I would look to continue. He gets people involved. You know, he is out with his dog and he's, you know, talking to everyone on the street. And he knows how to let people into the process. And I would like to emulate that. So continue with a newsletter. He lets people know both before a big decision and afterwards. So there's that feedback of, this is what's coming up, tell me what you think and I'll take it to council, and this is what we decided on and this is how the voting went. So that information is out there in East Ward, but it can be improved always. You know, there's always room for that. So that's definitely one thing. Engagement with the Hilton and Sampson precinct groups is definitely another. And if Beaconsfield wants to restart theirs, then definitely that. Beaconsfield's a little tricky because it's divided between Central and East Ward, and Beaconsfield really does have its own character. So watch this space. I'm not sure on Beaconsfield how to bring them into the whole discussion. I think, look, there's so many decisions that are Fremantle-wide, not just in each precinct. So it really does have to be that dissemination of information in lots of different ways, not just via the computer, not just via the newspaper. The newspaper doesn't get delivered in our area. You can most of the time pick it up outside Gilbert's or Coles, most of the time, but not always. So there has to be other ways, and town halls, you know, precinct meetings.
And Fremantle Shipping News.
Of course.
Now, that is really important, the consultative process.
Yeah.
Are there some particular issues, though, that you would want to be raising and seeing dealt with that we sort of know about at the moment?
Yeah. The Snap Send Solve app that's been talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks for little local problems, or, you know, you take a photo on your phone of the pothole, send it off, and it, in the World Wide Web, it gets sorted into whose responsibility it is. Great, that's helping with small problems, but it's not fixing the connection between residents and how they feel they're treated by the council. So while that's been a great step, there needs to be more dialogue, more back and forth, more actual engagement. It's not just we ticked a box, we asked you what colour playground you want. Is a playground what you need? Is this fit for purpose? And then really working with the local community to build that sense of belonging so that we increase our care for the place, our connection, and live somewhere we want to be.
There's going to be a lot of activity fixing up the potholes around Fremantle.
Especially today, after this rain this weekend.
After the rain, the holes are getting deeper. You could just about disappear down them if you weren't careful.
Yeah.
Now, some people raise sort of big world issues. Barry Healy writes a column on Fremantle Shipping News called Seeing Red, and he recently wrote that he thought this election should be all about AUKUS. And, do you have a view about that?
I do. And we're lucky that Fremantle Council in the 80s passed the nuclear free zone policy and continues to be a peaceful place. And I really want that to continue. when I first moved to Hilton, an 80-year-old neighbour came, well, actually, maybe he wasn't 80 then, but he came round. He's a member of ICANN, and he said, "Are you for peace?" And he was very close to me when he said it.
He said aggressively.
It came across a tad aggressive. "Are you for peace?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, good. I like having you in the neighbourhood then." And he's been a great neighbour. He's a fantastic fellow. And it just keeps coming back to my mind. I think that in these times, peace and connection and community building are all very important ideals that we need to really hold on to. Like, let's hope the next viral trend is empathy, and we can care for our planet and each other. And AUKUS feeds into all of that, of course. Nuclear submarines, very close by. Yes, we have a policy, and if worst came to worst, the Federal Government Defence Act would override it. So that concerns a lot of people. It's a piece of paper that we're a nuclear-free zone, and it, you know, will blow in the wind if push came to shove. And so it's right that people should be concerned and get informed. Unfortunately, at the moment, that means being talked at by the Australian Submarine Agency. But there's lots of information out there, and people should definitely inform themselves of what's around.
Well, it is good that at least we have the authorities coming out. I'm sure there'll be lots of questions of them, even if they don't want to answer them.
Yeah.
But another topic that a lot of people have views on is the port, which is scheduled under the state government decision making to go to Westport, Kwinana Way. Do you have any feelings or positions about that?
Fremantle being like the heart with a working port in its centre is just really fantastic, and I think it would be a real shame to lose that, if and when and how. It doesn't belong to the city of Fremantle, so the amount of say we have on it is small. However, we can amplify that in lots of different ways, I feel. It is an important part of our city, it obviously as employment, but identity as well. And if we have better information, and then we should act on it. So a decision made years ago, when the information has now superseded it and we know better that we can do things differently, or that the impact is on Cockburn Sound is going to be much greater than first decided, we need to use that new information to inform better decision making. So I would urge the state government to re-look at the whole Westport decision, because it doesn't need to happen nearly as soon as they want it to, and that, you know, that's reflected in data on what we're using the port for. But then there is the whole idea of how does it get redeveloped and utilised better, even in its current state. So, and that is definitely something that the Fremantle City Council can have something much more tangible to do with, rather than whether or not the port moves.
The other thing that so many people seem to have views on Freo, they come to Freo, they're not Freo people, but they want to come down, enjoy it, catch the train perhaps, get off, and then start complaining that they think there are too many empty shops, or that there are too many people lying around sleeping rough, and they feel whatever. I mean, I just think they need to get a life, but what about you?
Oh, I can't believe we won the Tourism Town of the World, whatever that award was,
Top Tourism Town.
Oh my goodness. How was that judged? Did they arrive by train to, you know, or did they just look at the front side of the station? Did they look at was there a car container ship emptying itself at that day? I mean, look, we do have a wonderful heritage, especially down here in the West End, but not only in the West End. We've got fantastic natural beauty from Sampson Park all the way down to the coast, and it needs to be amplified, and we need to look after it and pay attention to it. but not just the grounds and surrounds, the people in it. So like I said, if empathy could be the next viral trend and we actually care for those people who are sleeping rough, really find ways to get the wraparound supports, expand what we already have. There are so many caring, considerate people working on the streets in Fremantle to improve the conditions for others. Let's get council to support that work any way that is possible.
Pip, we're coming towards the end of this podcast. It's been a lovely discussion, and I don't want to end without checking in with you. Are there other issues that you wanted to mention before we finish?
Look, I've really loved getting out and speaking with more people. I'm in Hilton, have been for 15 years, or 13 years in Hilton and then two in what would have been Central Ward. And just as talking with more people has been really great, because I feel like I'm in a bit of a Hilton bubble. We love our green suburb and our garden suburb. So yeah, talking with more people in O'Connor and Beaconsfield too has been great. My kids went to school in Beaconsfield, and my youngest is still at Fremantle College for three more days. School finishes for year 12s on Friday. Crazy. Oh. So it's been great to be out talking with more people, and they just really want to know when they can have an input on things. And so my idea of just increasing consultation and engagement has been perfect because, yeah, I just wanted representation to matter to them, and that's what they want too. So I'm here for it.
Pip Stalter, thank you very much for meeting me today and telling us all of those things. Good luck with your campaigning.
Thanks for your time, Michael.